must get away quickly. I've escaped.
So there I was. Yes, but where was I? The sun was shining brightly and the air smelled clean and fresh. But I'd no food, pony, hood, cloak, no buttons on my coat, and not the slightest idea which way to go. Nor had I any friends. I was still quite alone.
So, trusting to his luck,
which hadn't been too good up to then,
Bilbo took off the magic ring and began to walk in the first direction his fancy dictated. As he wandered on, the sun began to sink behind the mountain.
Good heavens. The sun sets in the west, so I must be to the east of the Misty Mountains. I must have walked right through them, right to the edge of the land beyond. Oh, the land beyond. Oh, where, oh, where can Gandalf and the dwarves have got to? Oh, perhaps now that I've got the magic ring, I ought to go back into those horrible tunnels and look for them. Yes. Yes. There's nothing else for it. I must go back. What's this? Voices? Coming from behind those bushes. I'll creep near. See who they are. They might be friendly. Oh, thank goodness, it's the dwarves. I'll put the ring on and give them all a surprise.
Helter skelter
down here
without a burglar confusticating
us.
Here I am. Look!
There he is.
Right here,
Bilbo.
Where did you get to and where did you spring from?
Yeah, well, that's a little secret.
I told you there was a lot more in our burglar than you guessed.
Tell us your adventures, Bilbo. What happened to you after we lost you? How did you get to this spot?
Well, you see, after I fell
off. No time now. We must be getting on. The goblins will be out after us in their hundreds when night falls, and already shadows are lengthening.
Oh, anyway.
You can tell us your tale on the march,
Bilbo.
Yes.
As they plodded onward, the dwarves plied Bilbo with question after question about his adventures. He told them over and over again everything he could remember.
Except about the finding of the ring. But Gandalf gave me more than one strange look from under his bushy eyebrows. And I remember wondering if he had guessed that part of the tale without my saying.
The way grew rough and treacherous. And at one point, the whole party found themselves slithering helplessly down a long, steep slope of fallen stones, the remains of a landslide. The sun had long gone down behind the mountains. The company limped along as fast as they were able. And all the while, the forest gloom were heavier and the silence deeper. Suddenly, they came to a clearing where the bracken ceased and the pine needles were thickly carpeted upon the ground.
Can't we rest here? Must we go any further? I'm dreadfully hungry.
What's that? Wolves are the worst, I'm afraid. The evil wolves of these parts are called wild. We must climb the trees. All of you, quick, up the trees.
But I can't, I'm only a little.
Is it all safe?
I think so. Yes, all safe for the time being.
Gandalf, we can't stay perched in trees forever. And look, there are hundreds of them.
Be quiet. And we may discover something to help us away from here. Look, in the middle of the clearing, there's their leader, the great grey warg.
What? All this noise? This howling and snapping. Found strangers here, oh great one. We chase them up those trees. What strangers? A pack of dwarves, my lord. And a thing with a man with a long beard. And a smaller thing.
And a smaller thing? Is it an elf?
Not an elf, my lord. We don't know what it is. We've never seen one before.
Are the goblins here yet?
No, oh great grey one.
Not here?
Why no? We don't know. Oh, my dearest of prowlers. We haven't seen hide or whisker of them.
Well, find them, you tailies. We shall. Why, mind.
I was so scared in the forest.
I'll see you with the strangers later. You will soon have your chance to tear and slice. And
this is serious. Very serious indeed.
But what should we do, Gandalf? I mean, how should we ever escape?
Our only chance, I think, is fire.
Fire?
Yes. Wargs are mortally afraid of fire. You two, collect as many pine cones from this tree as you can, and I'll set light to them with my staff.
Quick!
Now then.
Here you are.
Ah,
it's a big one.
Good. They're dry and should catch light easily. There.
Oh, it's a great tree.
Wow. I should have the first honor of being the first target.
Good shot, Gandalf. You've got him right on the nose.
Yes, let's see what a few more fiery cones can produce.
Oh, please.
Here's a present for you.
Pipe and smoke it. Look, the coats are on fire.
Let's give it to each other.
They're running away!
Oh, there are still far too many of them unharmed for us to think of escaping yet. We'll have to...
Look! Look! Through the trees! There!
Goblins!
As I feared, we were too late. The goblins have arrived.
What's going on, Gandalf? What are they doing?
Holding a council of war, I should imagine. Yes, I thought so. Goblins, unlike wargs, are not afraid of fire. See... They're putting dry fern and brushwood round our trees.
Oh.
They're going to make bonfires of us.
Oh, no!
So the band of adventurers was borne away to freedom and to safety. As they flew on, the pale peaks of a mountain loomed ahead, with spikes of rock sticking up out of black shadows. At last, the great eagles deposited their passengers safely on a wide ledge of rock, halfway up the sheer precipice which seemed to form one whole side of this inhospitable-looking mountain.
Where are we, Gandalf? Are the eagles friendly? I mean,
only one question at a time, my dear Bilbo. First, we are on the Great Shelf, the home of the Lord of the Eagles.
Oh.
And secondly, yes, they are friendly.
Oh.
They aren't always, I might tell you. Oh. But it so happens that I once healed the Lord of the Eagles through a very nasty arrow. Quiet. Here he is now. Show the greatest respect.
What a pleasant surprise to see you again.
I am honored, Lord of the Eagles. May I present Taurin Oakenshield, son of Thrain, son of Thror, and his followers.
Son of Thrain, son of Thror? It is a great pleasure to meet the head of such a famous family of goblin slayers. Gandalf, my friend. You must tell me where you have come from and where you are going to and what is your mission. Wah! It was as well one of my patrols spotted
course. We all owe our lives to you and to your eagles. But before I tell you of our adventures, may I crave one more favor?
You have but to ask!
Can your eagles take us where and as far as you will?
In which direction?
Eastward.
Ah, eastward! Great wind! Your quest must be an important one indeed for you to wish to go eastward. Ah, we will carry you to the Karok, but no farther, Gandalf. There are too many perils beyond that point, even for eagles. Ah, food for the crab and my lord.
Ooh, ooh, good.
The following morning, they bade a courteous farewell to their hosts who had treated them so kindly, and again were carried aloft, this time on the backs of the eagles, which was a good deal more comfortable and less frightening, although at least one member of the party still found it not at all to his liking.
I just shut my eyes and held on as tightly as I could.
After a good while, the eagles spied the Karok and began to go down in great spirals. The Karok was a rugged hill of stone sticking up out of a plain of wide grassland and with a river meandering round its foot. Quickly now to the top of this rock, the eagles swooped one by one and set down their passengers.
May the wind under your wings bear you where the sun sails and the moon walks. Farewell.
Farewell, my lord.
Goodbye. Farewell.
Now what now, Gandalf?
Very few people live in these parts of the land beyond. But there is somebody that I know of who lives not too far away. It was he who named this hill Karok. And it was he who carved out those steps down to the plain. He doesn't come here often. Certainly not in the daytime, and it is no good waiting for him. In fact, it would be very dangerous.
Why?
We must go and find him. And you must all be very polite when I introduce you, which I shall do slowly, two by two, I think. And you must be careful not to annoy him, or heaven knows what will happen.
Why?
Because he can be appalling when he is angry, though he is kind enough when humored. Mm. Still, I warn you, he gets angry easily.
Is this the person you are taking us to?
It is.
Couldn't you find someone more easy-tempered?
No, I could not.
I think, Gandalf, you'd better explain it all a bit more clearly.
His name is Bjorn. He's a skin changer, which is to say he changes his skin. Sometimes he is a man and sometimes an enormous black bear. Some say that he's descended from the ancient bears of the mountains that lived there before the giants came.
Yes, but what's
the... And, Bilbo, he is not the sort of person to ask questions of.
Why did you tell me?
His house is a great wooden mansion set in an oak forest, which, incidentally, is a good walk from here.
But why
so let us save our breath for marching. Follow me.
Don't have any idea of it at all.
It was late afternoon before they came to a belt of tall and very ancient oaks. Gandalf led the way along the thick thorn hedge to a wooden gate high and broad. Through it they could see gardens and a cluster of barns, stables and sheds, and a long, low wooden house.
You had better wait here and follow me in pairs, mind, at intervals of about 5 minutes. That will give him time to get used to the idea of visitors. Come on, Mr. Baggins.
Hmm?
We'll go first.
Oh, will we?
Good luck.
Good luck, Mr. Baggins.
Oh, thank you.
You take care.
See?
Hmm?
The way those horses looked us over and trotted off?
Yes.
They have gone to tell Bjorn of the arrival of strangers.
Well, if they liked what they saw.
Now, be on your best behavior, Bilbo.
What?
Well, and try not to ask any questions.
Soon they reached a courtyard, in the middle of which stood a huge man, fully half as tall again as Gandalf, leaning on a large axe.
He had a black beard and thick black hair and great bare arms and legs with knotted muscles. The horses were standing by him with their noses at his feet.
Well, here they are. They don't look dangerous. Who are you and what do you want?
I am Gandalf, the wizard.
Never heard of him. And what's this little fellow?
This is Mr. Bilbo Baggins, a hobbit. Of good family and unimpeachable reputation.
At your service and your family's.
Yeah.
Well, I have heard of you, even if you have not heard of me. But perhaps you have heard of my good cousin Radagast.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Not a bad fellow as wizards go. I used to see him now and again. Well, now I know who you are, or who you say you are. What do you want?
We have lost our luggage, Bjorn, and are in need of help and advice. I may say we had rather a bad time of it with goblins in the mountains.
Goblins? So you've been having trouble with them, have you? Oh. Well, then you'd better tell me your tale, if it won't take all day. Now, what did you go near goblins for?
I was coming over the mountains with a friend or two.
Or two? Well, I can only see one. And a little one at that.
Well, I didn't like to bother you with a lot of us until I found out if you were busy. I'll give a whistle, if I may.
Yes, go on. Whistle away.
Sorry, Oakenshield, at your service.
Nori, at your service.
One or three, you mean, I see. But these aren't hobbits. They're dwarves.
Well, yes.
I am not over fond of dwarves. But if you are really Thorin, son of Thrain, son of Thror, and you are enemies of goblins and are not up to mischief in my lands, then what are you up to, by the way?
They are on their way to visit the land of their fathers east beyond Mirkwood, as I was about to tell you.
Go on telling, then.
We were crossing the High Pass when we took refuge in a cave from a terrible storm, the hobbit and I and several of our...
Several? You call two several?
Well, no, as a matter of fact, there are more than two.
Well, go on, whistle again.
Yes. Ah, there are Dori and Ori.
At your service.
Dori, at your service.
All right. Stand still and keep quiet, or it'll be supper time before this tale is ended.
Ooh. Well, while we were resting in a cave, some goblins took the hobbit and the dwarf.
And so Gandalf, by keeping Bjorn enthralled with the story of their adventures, was able to introduce all the dwarves into his formidable presence. And by the time the wizard had finished his tale, the shadows were long in Bjorn's garden.
Bumpy flight. The eagles put us down. On Karak.
That's a good tale. It's a very good tale. It's the best I've heard for a long time. You may be making it all up.
I beg your pardon.
But you deserve a supper for the story, all the same. Let's quit. I've got nothing to eat.
Yes, please.
In Bjorn's house, we had a supper such as we had not had since we left Elrond half-elven in the west. Bjorn told tales of the wild lands this side of the mountains, and of the dark and dangerous wood which barred our way to the east, and through which we had to pass. The terrible forest of Mirkwood.
After many tales had been told, and many songs had been sung, Gandalf, Bilbo, and the dwarves, by now so tired that they could hardly see, sank wearily into a deep, dreamless sleep. Bjorn himself disappeared. Where to, no one knew.
Get up, lazy bones. Get up, or there will be no breakfast left for you.
Breakfast? Where's the breakfast?
Mostly inside us.
I say, let's wait.
There's some there for you.
Oh, good. Thank you, darling. Where's Gandalf?
Oh, out and about somewhere. I think he may be looking for Bjorn.
Well?
There's no sign of him either.
Gandalf's coming now.
Good morning, Thorin.
Good morning,
Thorin. Good morning, Bilbo.
Where is our host, Gandalf?
Where have you been? One question at a time, please. I will answer the second one first, which I think will also answer your first. I have been following bear tracks.
Oh,
I have followed them quite a distance, and do you know where they appeared to be leading to?
What will you?
To that clearing just this side of the mountains where we had our pleasant little party with the wargs and goblins last night.
Bjorn! Bjorn! He means to lead those evil creatures here. We shall all be caught and killed.
Don't be silly. I said Bjorn was an enemy of goblins and all things evil, and so he is. But he also had to satisfy himself as to the truth of our story.
Yes, but I...
Oh, here he comes.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
All well?
Yes, thank you, Mr.
Ah, that was a good story of yours last night.
Sure.
And I like it better still now that I know it's true. Well, forgive my not taking your word, but if you lived near the edge of Mirkwood, you would not take the word of anyone. I shall think more kindly of dwarves after this. Well, I'm told you killed the great goblin.
Oh, that's
the great goblin! Well, now, you will want to be getting on with your quest. I shall provide ponies for each of you, and a horse for you, Gandalf, to carry you to the start of the forest path at the edge of Mirkwood. I shall give you food and water, bows and arrows. Not that you are likely to find anything in Mirkwood wholesome enough to eat. There, wild things are dark, savage. And two pieces of advice I give you. First is not to drink any of the water of the stream which will cross your path, for it carries enchantment and a great drowsiness and forgetfulness. The second is not under any circumstance to stray from the path. That you must not do for any reason. Now, your mounts are loaded and ready. I suggest that you start now so as to reach Mirkwood before nightfall.
Right. Come on, everyone. My thanks, mighty sir. We shall be ever at your service.
This is all I do for you.
Let me lift you up, Mr. Baggins. I can see that hobbits are not made for pony back.
Oh, well, I had
to...
thank you, Mr. Bjorn.
Everybody mount it.
All ready, Bjorn.
Good. Gandalf.
Yes?
At the gate of the forest, I must ask you to send back my horse and my pony.
Of course.
I wish you all good speed. My house is open to you if ever you come back this way again. Farewell.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Bjorn.
Swiftly and surely the travelers were borne to the eaves of Mirkwood, and by late afternoon were resting almost beneath the great overhanging boughs of its outer trees. Their trunks were huge and gnarled, their branches twisted, their leaves dark and long.
You can see the entrance to the path through that gap in the trees. I hope you like the look of it. And now you must send back these excellent ponies you have borrowed.
Send back the ponies? What about your horse, then? You don't mention sending that back.
I don't, because I am not sending it back.
What?
I am riding it back. I have some pressing business away south. In any case, I'm sending Mr. Baggins with you, and I've told you that he has more about him than you guess. You will find that out before long. So cheer up, all of you, and think of the treasure at the end. Come now, dismount and unload the ponies.
Dismount, everyone. Stop up.
Off you go, back to your master.
Are you really leaving us?
Yes, my little burglar, I really am.
Oh, but
courage, Bilbo. This is your legend and your adventure, don't you? stay with me?
I'll try not to.
Goodbye, then.
Goodbye.
Farewell, Taurine. Come on.
Farewell, Gandalf. Hurry
back to
us.
Goodbye, Mr. Goodbye, Gandalf.
Goodbye,
Gandalf.
Goodbye,
Mr. Gandalf.
Come, friends, shoulder your packs. Let us march into Mirkwood. Far over the misty mountains, go to dungeons deep and caverns low. We must.